because there's a prevailing atmosphere that identifies who you are and what you do. And the problem is that we've allowed atmosphere and tradition and history to cement us into an atmosphere that maybe is not conducive or flexible to attract those out there of the younger mind and younger mindset. I'm just saying, maybe. Maybe our identification, we say, Lord, we need to change our atmosphere. We need to become more dynamic. Well, how do I do that? I still got the same people. You don't. But if you give it to the Holy Ghost and let Him do it, let Him guide you in changing atmosphere, changing the climate. And after we take a break, I'm going to get into what is atmosphere and climate? Because what actually does it? How can we change it? Every person, home, business, church, city, nation has a unique atmosphere about them. Amen? I'm going to just read this and then we'll stop for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. The power or substance of beginning or the genesis something, okay, a place or the entity has a DNA in it. It is stamped, which carries forward until challenged with an equal or greater power. New England has a stamp of DNA on it. Okay? No getting around it. I can name all the cliches, preacher's graveyard, cold is hard, hard ground, stone walls. I could give you all of the ones that I've heard over the years. All of them are an atmospheric setting lie. But because New England has got a negative spiritual added a report or an atmosphere, that people don't even want to come here to go to church. Only when you understand the DNA of New England would you change your mind on that. Only would you understand the stamp of New England, you would change your mind on that. Because if you study New England, it's a hotbed of revival. Come on, church. It's a hotbed of revival. But we've been so inundated with a false narrative or atmosphere or climate in New England that we succumb to it and we don't know how to break it. And all we got to do is report for duty and say, God, how do we break this climate? Start praising, start worshiping, stop killing each other, start coming together, start being one. Well, I'll tell you, you'll see a change. All right, one last thing, we'll stop. Those who are the custodians or stewards of an existing atmosphere are to recognize the powers or forces that is equal or greater to resist and stand them. We are custodians of the atmosphere. That's what God made us. It's our responsibility. Amen? Whether it be a person, a home, a business, a church, a city, or a nation, we all will have that unique, unique atmosphere we live in. And we can change it. I'm going to just take a 10-minute break, and we can change it. I said we can change it. We can change it in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and take about a 10-minute break. How are we all doing? All right. All right. I'm gonna talk to you about this last section here, about the power of the atmosphere. And just so you know, I'm spending a lot of time in the atmosphere, but atmosphere is a prelude to climate. And atmosphere sustained creates a climate. Climate sustained creates a culture. But the biggest thing out of climate, in other words, influence sustained creates atmosphere. Atmosphere sustained creates climate. Climate sustained creates strongholds. Strongholds create culture. And so I don't think I'll get to all that today, but we're going to give it a shot. Let's talk about power of influence. Power of influence. The atmosphere will bring a pressure to conform, to dominate, influence, whether good or bad. And so right now we're currently in an era where culture, in my opinion, is being pressured and created and dominated by evil, darkness, and negativeness and separation. Amen. In certain aspects in the nation and actually in the world, but there's a counter to that. Is that atmosphere with the right pressure will conform and dominate and influence that culture to become righteous, full of light, and full of the kingdom of God. Guess who it's going to take to do that? Amen. All right. So the pressure to conform, dominate, influence, whether good or bad, righteous or unrighteous, constructive or destructive, the pressure is a weight. It forces change. And that's what we're experiencing right now. We're having a great pressure to change everything we believe in. Amen? And the only thing that's going to stop that is A, not give in to it, and B, a greater or equal pressure, meaning the influence of the kingdom of God. Scriptural mindset, attitude, and understanding of the battle in the spirit realm is going to be extremely important, because we've got to keep our spirits right, but we also need to keep our mindsets right. What are we going to focus our minds on? The Bible says, think upon those things which are above. What is the majority we're being forced to think about now is things beneath. And God says, you need to change that. Well, how do I do this and live in the world? You are in the world, but you are not of the world. We need to take those two words, in and of, and maybe study the importance of them. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you were dead in trespass and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Who is controlling the air? Who is controlling the atmosphere? Amen? And what we don't realize, we get all goose pimples when we look at Genesis, but we don't realize what happened in Genesis. You see, in Genesis, Adam and Eve gave up the authority of the airways to Satan. All right? Y'all can receive that. When Jesus came, he gave us the authorities over the airways over Satan. But have we ever, as the church as a whole, taken up that authority? Now, we're too interesting fighting each other about our stupid doctrines instead of coming together in the body of Christ and letting the Spirit of God move. Amen? Atmosphere. Okay, now let me just... Well, I got ahead of myself. Let me back up a little bit. Let me read Ephesians 6:10. I did get ahead of myself. I'm sorry. And New American Standard says, finally be strong in the Lord and to be strengthened in his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand, say stand, firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, can we stop discussing whether the devil's out there with schemes trying to destroy things? He is out there. Let's face it, okay? But we are to stand firm. And stand is not, oh, I hope I make it. No, stand is a battle cry stand of a warrior. Okay? Verse 12 says, for the struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Against rulers, against powers, against principalities of world forces and this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So that scripture alone should identify, first of all, the power of atmosphere, who is controlling right now, okay? And for us to start to realize that if we are to put on the full armor of God and make a stand, and we are to effect a change. Why is that? Would you stop looking at the president and all his cohorts? Would you stop looking at Congress or all the other people that are propagating this stuff and realize that we do not wrestle, come on, church, against flesh and blood. My prayer for Washington, I've stopped praying for the government officials, and I'm now starting to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So what is the demonic force, the darkness? I just almost see the penetrating darkness of a prince over Washington, forcing all this stuff. Socialism, communism, commonality. It's all the prince of darkness. We're mad at the government and all these guys in the election, and I won't go down that road. I'll stay away from it because I want to stay spiritual, okay? But the point is that we are not wrestling against them. But that's who the church is wrestling against. We're talking about it. We're murmuring about it. We're reading about it. We see about it. And it's not about flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities. There's a prince over Washington. There's a prince over our country propagating darkness. And the church is sitting here wondering what to do. My God, have mercy on us. So that's the power of atmospheres. Now I want to talk about the negative power of atmosphere. Atmosphere is oppression, depression, or coldness. That's a negative power. One must discern the atmosphere and make appropriate action to either resist or accept. One must say, I feel, or we say this time, I feel, or I perceive, or I have a sensation of heaviness, darkness. You just know it's there. A negative atmosphere is chaos. Hello, do we have a negative atmosphere in our country right now? It's depression. It's oppression. It's coldness. Just look at people's faces when you see them walking around. Well, if you can see, I mean, now we, you know, because we've got the mask thing, you can't determine what people are anymore. I wonder why that, we won't go there. And so this is very important. Now I'll read that scripture again in context. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we formerly walked according to the course of this world, right, flesh and blood, according to the prince of the power of the air, the enemy who's controlling the air, and of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Why don't we see this? Quite frankly, I have a pity for Joe Biden. He's a pawn. Not in a political sense. In a spiritual sense. The enemy is having his way. Amen? God have mercy on his soul. Save him, Lord. How many of you are praying, instead of being mad at him, how much are we praying saving him? Get him saved. Get him. I won't go down that road. So the atmosphere produces chaos, emptiness, and darkness. A negative atmosphere produces chaos, emptiness, and darkness. Darkness meaning a covering of darkness where everything is influenced by that darkness. Anybody can say where there was gross darkness? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was what? Without form or void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. So what is it? I mean, let's take a look at this lesson. This is just Bible. What did God do? What did God do before he stepped up and said, let there be light? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hovering, changing, setting the atmosphere. So when the Father got up and said, let there be light, what responded? The atmosphere responded because there was an equal and greater power against the darkness. And when the light came, the light overpowered the darkness. Does that make sense to you? Do you have that same power in Christ? Can you speak to the darkness? Do you speak to the darkness? Isaiah 60, verse 2. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. How many of you feel a little deep darkness? Come on. But what are we focusing on? Let's read the rest of the scripture. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Whenever there's a darkness, there's a contrary light waiting to take over. Whenever there's a negative thing, there's a contrary positive thing ready to take over. Whenever there is chaos, peace is just a word away, hold your peace to the storm. There's always a contrary, but we're not using the contraries. We are using and being inundated to flow in with what was being forced upon us, and we cannot do that. It is time to stand up. Amen? Atmosphere is a disorderly house. Proverbs 17:14, it says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Amen. Amen. I was going, no, I better not. Let's read another scripture. Proverbs, keep me out of trouble. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Negative atmosphere is done away with a positive confession of faith in the power of the tongue. But if we get in there and slide in there and jump into everybody's negativeness, then the power of our tongue will increase. The chaos is out there because we are agreeing with it. I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, let my mind be in agreement with the mind of Christ. Let me stop fighting Christ's thoughts. Let there be an internal atmosphere where the voice rings true. And there's no contradictory argument within my being of what the voice of God says. But many of us have those contradictory arguments within us. Why, God? How could I do that, God? Look who I am. I'm nothing, God. Contrary arguments. Proverbs 19:13 says it this way, a foolish son is the ruin of a father, and a contentious wife are continue of a wife are continually dripping. All right, we've got to watch. We got to watch. I almost didn't put that in there. It's scripture, so yeah. but we got to understand something here. If you are just running your mouth off totally with negative, and my wife and I, we're here. We're kind of family here, so you know, I have a tendency to talk too much. We get in an argument after it's all done. Argument, intense fellowship. We all do. Anybody ever not had intense fellowship when you're married? But I always got to keep talking, running my mouth, until the Lord puts a temper on it. Because you see, the atmosphere is being controlled by what comes out of our mouths. You have a war in your house? How about cleaning up what's coming out of your mouth? The war will cease. Let's talk about, let me finish this up. Atmosphere is places where demonic activity is accepted. Let me rephrase that, because I can hear it, Pastor Mac. I can hear it throughout this room. Not me. I would never allow that to happen. I just hear that right through in my room. Thought life. Okay? Demonic activity should never be accepted in your spiritual atmosphere. Atmosphere places where demonic is accepted becomes empowered. Are you with me? Demonic activity should not be accepted in our spiritual atmosphere. Are you with me? Well, I would never let that happen. Well, how come you were ranking on a Sister Susie Q the other day, which is a demonic activity? Is that true or not? That hit home. I could just feel it penetrate. I'm sorry, but that just hit home. Because you see, some of the most spiritual people give room for the devil the way they talk about other people. Amen? That includes problems in your church, but I'll leave that alone. Atmosphere of places where demonic activity is accepted. We cannot allow it. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Say more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives what? Grace to the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Okay? God's looking to change us. Watch, listen to what's coming out of my mouth. I have to do it. As I said, I run my mouth off a lot. Okay? I have to do it. We all have to do it. What am I creating in my home? The last situation I had, what could I have done differently? Well, it's just that spouse you gave me, Lord. No. It's you. Oh, it's you. Because if there's contention in a home, you're part of it. I don't care how you slice it. Well, you don't know what they did. Doesn't make a difference. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Atmosphere is important. Atmosphere of each person, each person creates. Every person carries an atmosphere and a definite feel about them. Every person. If you could say, Sister Susie Q, identification words would come up. They would. It's important. Are we known as a person that's angry? Sensational? Argumentative? Critical? Pride? Negative? Are we known? Are we known by positive and uplifting? Well, if you've got a problem, go see that person because they'll encourage you. It's all known by the words that come out of our mouths. And it all is a result of what we have developed inside of us. And if you can hear me, because you see, we can change this world. I said we can change this world. You can have the most dynamic church here if you change the atmosphere. And I'm not saying you don't have a dynamic church now, but you cannot settle for what you are. It's not God's will. Coming every Sunday, seeing every people here, and settling down is an atmosphere of settlement, not an atmosphere of a moving river. And we can all change that simply by what we declare when we walk in this room, when we worship. Is that all right? All right, let's talk about the positive atmosphere. Every individual church and situation has built and established an atmosphere within them and themselves. I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating. Building attitudes and feelings and perception, vision, trust takes people time. It's going to take time to change the atmosphere. Building people's trust and attitudes, changing the perception out there of what this place is going to take time. But it's a test that must be taken. People driving by this on Sunday mornings, I just picture it, Pastor Mac. Imagine driving by here and say, I got to go in that building. I don't know what there is about that building. I got to go in there about the building. And they show up at church service and then I'm getting saved. You understand what I'm saying? There was a revival down in Baltimore, Rock Church Baltimore, Pastor Bart Pierce. And the highway goes right down underneath the church. It's like a cliff, and the church sits on top of the hill. And it was during the revival times when they had Tommy Tinney there. And a tractor-trailer truck driver was driving down the highway, and you know, there was a 3-lane highway. And said, such a pull on him, he had to stop his truck the side of the road. He climbed up the hill on the cliff to get in that church service. stories. We don't hear them anymore. Well, that's just the past. No, 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 no. The past is the foundation of the future. That's why I study revival all the time. Moves of God. How many of you think we're in bad times right now? Okay? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to be negative, but let me tell you this. All right? Back in the 1800s, they were in worse times than we are in right now in this country. Back in the 1800s, it was very difficult to walk, if you're a Christian, to walk out of your home without being accosted. Walk out of your home. Until the Spirit of God moved in the 1800 revivals. And entire communities got saved. Jails got closed. Bars turned into churches. You just go on and on and on. We can change it. Can I hear an amen on that? So, let's talk about it. Atmosphere of prayer, worship, and the Word. How are we going to change this? Next 15 minutes, let me do this. We'll go to lunch. How are we going to bring a positive atmosphere? The first thing we're going to do is pray. And I'm not talking lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm not talking about praying about your needs. And that's okay to pray your needs, but please hear me. God knows your need before you ask. Maybe if we listen to the scripture, read the scripture, understand what the Bible says, God, you know, go pray because our God already knows your needs. So stop praying your needs and start praying the kingdom. Start praying down the kingdom. Now, again, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for your needs. I'm not saying that. But it shouldn't dominate. Matthew 21:13 says, and he said to them, it is written, say it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, for you have made it a den of thieves. And let me say this to you, because we've traveled the country, and there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of ministers, a lot of merchandising going on. We got cafes, we got everything, okay? We got some people, in fact, I better be careful, that's negative, but I don't say that. Anyways, the people who do all kinds of traffic, you know, we got some new things happening in our area, and they're doing all kinds of trappings to attract people there, okay? You know, and the point is that we are a house of prayer, and prayer should be pulling the people there. I shouldn't have to have a gimmick to get people to come to church. Prayer. Wholesome, call forth prayer. Amen? Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Does our prayer meetings produce that? And these are areas that we got to do. What is the atmosphere of our prayer meeting? Have we polluted the air by bringing the outside in? Or actually, during a prayer meeting, we're saying, Lord, we're going to cleanse this air. We're going to say the third heavens right up through, right? And we cleanse the air in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus, and we start to sanctify the air. So if someone comes in with a really bad thing on them, okay, we just pray it away and get it off them. Is that all right? Be careful not to pollute your prayer area, the atmosphere, by what you say and what you do. Private conversations ought to be well guarded, particularly when you start talking about people and situations in the church. Okay? You got a problem in the church? Take care of it. Pray about it, but don't make it a point of gossip. Are you with me? Because you see, a lot of our, and Sunday you'll see, I'll explain something to you, but you have to understand something. When we pray and by the flesh, we are actually hardening the ground that we're standing on. There's a lot of people doing a lot of planting and see no crops come up. It's because we're hardening the ground by the atmosphere we're creating. Is that right? Second one is worship. 3-4 chord. Create a positive power of atmosphere by the atmosphere of worship. Worship creates, if anything creates atmosphere, worship does. Worship creates atmosphere where God moves, and with his presence, his power, drawing people to be touched, healed, forgiven, and saved. Worship is the right response to the presence of God, personal and scriptural response. Worship is to create an atmosphere for God, not goose pimples for you. Lamar Boschman always used to put it this way: we worship one. That's all. That's what our worship's all about him. And so as we worship, let's lose ourselves into the kingdom of God. Let's create an atmosphere that matches heaven. Let's not come to church looking what I can get out of it, but let's come to church on what I can give to it. It's a whole change in attitude. I'm coming to church to worship God. I'm gonna loose myself in the Spirit. I'm going to loose myself to just worship Jehovah God. Now, if you have that attitude, are you with me? You have people standing at the door to get into worship service instead of like what I see in many churches, including ours. Oh, we worship. We just mosey in, sit the kids down right in the middle of worship. How do we think that impresses God? Or do we even care? Pastor Karen and I do something. Sometimes we leave the sanctuary before church service starts, and our church always opens up. We have a brother that opens up in prayer. We won't walk in that sanctuary during that prayer. We'll stand outside the door and wait for the prayer's over. Why? Because you're protecting. You don't interrupt the prayer with the Lord. Atmosphere, creating it. I know I've explained this before, but we were at Cornerstone Church, Michael Pitts' church in Toledo, Ohio, at a conference. We were pastors there. They knew we were pastors there. I preached at that church. Pastor Michael knew we were pastors. And so we were amongst the congregation, large church. And I had to go to the bathroom. After we're older, I do a lot more of that now, but anyways. And we got to understand something. I went out and went to the men's room, and we came back, and there was someone up there praying and prophesying, praying on the platform. And I walked in, and the usher knew I was a pastor. Are you with me? And so I started going back to my seat, and the usher said, no, Pastor, you sit over there until the prayer is over. That's what the usher said to me. I said, amen. Amen. Go sit there until what's going up there won't be interrupted. Wow. Never forgot that. That was a Holy Ghost lesson. Chapter 34, verses 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many of us, oh boy, this is a loaded question. Is there praise continuing in our mouth? I know times that I have a hard time praising God. In fact, Mac and I were talking about it before we came in here. I don't like traffic. Particularly when there's three lanes, as far as you can see, and there's no reason why they're not moving. So we all have moments, but we have to work on it. We're human, but we have to work on it. We always need to have a praise on our mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, verse 2. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing melody with our heart to the Lord. How many of us have a song in our heart? Sing a melody to the Lord. And I sing internally because you would not want to hear me sing externally. But the Lord hears it's pure. Please hear me. Prayer is spiritual. It's not fleshly. It's about the Spirit. What's the Spirit telling me to pray about today? I want to pray about this and this. Holy Spirit says, no, I need you to pray about this. I need you to intercede for the nation, or I need you to intercede for your state, or I need to have you intercede for this and that. Well, that has nothing to do with us here. Right. That's the problem. Everything is about us. And quite frankly, beginning the kingdom, none of it's about us. It's about what God wants and when he wants it. Can I hear an amen on that? We had a Pentecostal, actually it was a wife of a Pentecostal preacher. We used to call her Sister Norma. And we used to pick Sister Norma up and bring her to church. We were driving 25 miles one way just to get to the church. And she would say, oh, Brother Al, oh, Brother Al. She'd get that old Pentecost rolling in there. One time she got in the car. She said, Pastor Al, gotta pray for Sadat. Sadat, whoa, Brother Al, Brother Al, Brother Al, Sadat, Sadat, gotta pray for him. And she was just going on and on and on and on. We're going to church. No, no. She said, pray for Andrew Sadat. Little alone do we know that he was killed shortly after that. We got to hear the Spirit of the Lord. We go to prayer meeting next time. Ask God, what do you want me to pray? Well, we got the needs of the church. Okay, that's great. God, we have needs of church. Here they are. Now, what do you want me to pray for? Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, I understand that, God. You understand what I'm going through. Now, pray for what God wants you to pray for. Well, now you're taking the fun out of going to prayer. No, I'm taking the self out of it. Is this too? I'm talking about atmosphere, worship, atmosphere. Worship is to be about, we worship one God. It doesn't make a difference what Sister Susie Q's doing or what this person's doing or that person. If that person's bothering you, you are. Oh, Kathy, how do I say this? You're in the flesh. Get in the spirit. Get lost. Let Holy Ghost come and create an atmosphere. Because I'm longing for a day of a church service that I can hear such purity in worship that we actually join the angels in heaven. And that is a possibility. It is a possibility. Next one. How do we create a positive atmosphere? Prayer, worship, and the last one is the Word. Atmosphere will always bow to the Word of God. Atmosphere will always bow to the Word of God. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How do we overcome the wicked one in atmosphere? But by declaring the Word of God. What did Jesus say when the Satan was tempting him? What did he say? He said it was what? It was, well, it was the preacher said, or this said. No, no. He simply said one thing, and he was internalizing it. Okay, what did he say when Satan tempted him? It is written. Shut up, Satan. It's written. And once you declare the Word of God to atmosphere or everywhere else, end of story. Is that cool? It's the end of story. Once the word of God is brought forth, end of story, end of discussion. Well, I don't know about this because you know, over the years, I mean, it's the Bible was written a long time ago. I don't know about this. In culture now, they do this and do that. Well, this is okay. That's okay. Okay. My God, we have Holy Ghost churches capitulating to the culture of this sexual change. Come on. Is a pervasive atmosphere so invasive that even Holy Ghost churches are starting to think twice about homosexuality? It's happening. Where's the resistance? Where's the Word of God? When I see an invasion of an atmosphere, we need to speak the Word of God to that atmosphere. It is written. End of story. Well, you're interpreting it. No, I'm not interpreting anything. It's written. Well, that's what you believe. No. I have nothing to do with it. It's written. What I believe is inconsequential when it comes to the Word of God. Is that tough? That's truth. All right, I got to move on quickly. All right, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living, active, and sharper than what? A two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? What is the discerning factor of what we are looking at? It is, in fact, the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Amen? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why is it that you want people to not talk about the Word of God? Because faith comes by hearing. Why does culture have to get rid of the Word of God? Because faith comes by hearing. If I don't hear the Word of God, then I won't have faith in the Word of God. That's why the culture is so bent on keeping our young people away from church, but Holy Ghost is driving or pulling them together in worship, hearing the Word, singing about God. Amen? All right, let me talk on this one. Atmosphere of faith. An atmosphere of faith will change the atmosphere. You've got to have faith to change the atmosphere. He must ask in faith without doubting. For one who doubts is like a surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Beloved, let me say something to us, because I see some gray hairs in here. I got them too. Some of you got gray hairs we can't see, but there's not because you don't have gray hair. Come on, I'm kidding with you. We've got to loosen up. Some of us have been around long enough where you're almost afraid to believe. Some of us have been so disappointed you're almost afraid to exercise your faith. Come on, I'm speaking truth because this is what the Holy Ghost told me. We're afraid to step out for another disappointment. I'm afraid to step out because I'm going to hurt. I've exercised my faith for years and not seen anything. And it's because we have been preached for years a result-oriented faith. God says, have faith. He'll take care of the rest. I've had faith for revival. I've had this in our church the other day. We were standing up here, it was in 1980, from Virginia. 80, yeah. 79, 80. And we were sent up here with a word. You will go declare the revival in New England. Prophetic word. You will go from town to town, city to city, government to government, and declare revival. And my resolve for that is this. Over the years, I've been in New England because I worked for Pat Robinson. I was a regional director of the Freedom Council. I went just about every state in New England, every city, town government, and declared revival. I've been doing this up here for 35 years. No longer than that. And I will say to you what I said to my church, or not my church, our church, is that through all these years of what we're seeing, you almost see the opposite, don't you? But I had to say to you, my resolve and faith is greater today in the goodness of God, and that God is going to bring revival greater than I had in 1980 when I received the word. My faith is stronger today. I don't give up. Why? Because God didn't say give up. He didn't say that the revival was going to happen instantly. He just simply said, go and declare revival. And I keep doing it. In fact, I had one man walk up to our church when I was pastoring. He says, if you mention revival one more time, I'm leaving the church. I'm sick of hearing it. As compassionate as the person I was next Sunday morning. And yes, he did leave the church. Atmosphere of faith. I got a little bit more after lunch. We'll do it. But let me just a couple more. Atmosphere of one accord. This is crucial. Atmosphere of one accord. The power of releasing through prayer and unity. One accordness. Acts 1:14, it says, those all continue with what? One accord. Supplication. With the women of Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. They all continued with one accord. One accord. Unity. How many of us in the church, with people around long enough, have had one accord? Or is our individualisticness, or increasing our individual ministry, or our agenda, whatever you call, is outside of the word one accord for the good of Christ, for the betterment of the kingdom, and for the will of God? One accord. Amen. Last one I'll go over. Atmosphere of spiritual power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. I won't read the scripture because I want to touch one other thing, but Acts 2, 1 through 4, you all know the story about Pentecost and how it came in and changed the atmosphere, came upon, the wind moved in and set up flames of fire upon every disciple. The power of the Holy Ghost, being baptized. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? How many of you speak in tongues every single day, without failing? How many of you are responding in tongues? How many of you are speaking in the Spirit? How many of us walking during the daytime and says, what is it you need for me to do, Holy Ghost? What is your voice today, Holy Ghost? What do you want, Holy Ghost? Or do we give him a high five and say, I'll be about my day, catch you at the end of the day? And certainly not without least, the last one in closing this section before lunch, atmosphere of transforming power. Liberty changed and glory to glory. Now the Spirit of the Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Why do we have so much chaos? If the Spirit of the Lord is at the center of everything we're doing, would we have liberty? And the answer to that question is yes. How many of us have turmoil inside of us? War against the flesh, flesh against the spirit. That's what Scripture says, doesn't it? Okay? But where you have this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. You have liberty inside of us to be released. Amen? But we all, with unfailed faces, beholding in the mirror of glory the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, glory to glory. Amen. All of us are being transformed. Can we give space for the transforming? Can we have the atmosphere? Can we work on it? Can we work on an atmosphere where people come here and say, I want to be a part of this. I want this. And I'm not saying that's not here. I'm saying to you, for this place to go where it has to, There has to be a shift in the atmosphere. I'm saying this as kindly as I can. There has to be a shift in the atmosphere. So when that shift in the atmosphere comes, it goes up. Comes up as a corporate being. And the demonic force, you see, the demonic force is an area. An individual cannot take a demonic force down, but a church can. Collectively. Worship, prayer, and a word. Coming together in unity in one. Believe in the miraculous. Believing that I will make a difference because I'm a child of God. Amen.